But I just want to visit again what we are seeing more and more of, various studies showing nanotech in the mRNA vaccines. And so in this particular one, and this is, I talked about this the other day. This is this most recent article is from Wine Press News. A new detailed study from Japan showing certain batches of mRNA vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna. I already covered this, but I wanted to cover it a little bit more in detail and show you some of the pictures that were there. And again, I always, people were talking about nanotech stuff and interaction with magnets and stuff very, very early on. I didn't feel like there was enough evidence to make that credible. However, after people had been talking about that, if you remember, we had in Japan, and that may be one of the reasons why they're doing this study in Japan, the Japanese government got rid of 1.2 million doses because they said they started having black particulates. So as they had these things sitting there, maybe they didn't have them properly refrigerated. And they started noticing black precipitates coming out of it. And they said that they interacted with magnets. It's like, whoa, and they threw those away. Now that's hard data right there, hard data. And so, and then I believe they did it a second time with about a million batches. It happened, I think, twice. I don't think it was the same report put out twice. But I think they got rid of about 2 million all told in two different batches that had that. And I had said from the very beginning, why is it that they're keeping these vaccines at such a very, very, very low temperature? And I thought that was suspicious. And so perhaps maybe that was what happened with it. Maybe it was not refrigerated properly. Maybe these things started to activate. I mean, you keep the stuff super, super cold. I mean, it was, they were packing this with like dry ice or something. And I would imagine that as they thaw this stuff out, that and I talked about that in August of 2020. They're already talking about what they were going to do to put it out. They were giving instructions to people about how to track who had it, how to track the lot numbers and all the rest of the stuff. And they were talking about the fact that they had six doses of this per vial, and you had to thaw it out, and you had to use it within a certain period of time. I thought, what's going on with that? What happens if it goes beyond that? There was no word. I thought, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, they don't say what happens if this is left at room temperature for too long. And maybe it was to keep people from seeing what happens when you warm it up, when you inject it into a body. Observable real-time injuries at the cellular level in recipients of the injectables are documented here for the first time, with a presentation of a comprehensive description and an analysis of observed phenomena. They said, as I reported before, visible artificial self-assembling entities ranging from about 1 to 100 micrometers or greater of many different shapes. There were animated worm-like entities, disks, chains, spirals, tubes, right angle structures containing other artificial entities within them, and so forth. And here's some pictures of some of those. And as time progressed during incubation, simple one and two dimensional structures over 2 or 3 weeks became more complex in shape and size, developing into stereoscopically visible entities in three dimensions. They resembled carbon nanotube filaments, ribbons, and tapes, some appearing as transparent, thin, flat membranes, and others as three-dimensional spirals and beaded chains. And so when you look at these, there's another picture of the different things that they saw under a microscope. And then in one of these experiments, and again, this is something I had not talked about previously, they, under 200 times magnification, they had semen with normal saline as a control added after 2 hours. And then they also put in a flu vaccine added as control after 1.5 hours. It showed the sperm cells with intact morphology and with typical progressive natural reduction in sperm motility. But then they did it with the Pfizer injectables. And after 1 hour, all sperm motility ceased. They're dead. Moderna, same thing. After 1 hour of adding the Moderna to the sperm cells, they were all completely immotile. And then they did it with Novavax, because these are the three vaccines that are approved in the U.S. And 1 hour after Novavax, all motility ceased. That's the one that Dr. Peter McCullough thinks is great. Yeah, the Novavax, try that. And so, again, they found various coils, ribbons, spirals in the Pfizer, distilled water, same thing with the Moderna, beaded chains, assorted structures, and distilled water as these things start to come together. And then they exposed them to magnetic fields that were not all that strong from things like a hard disk drive or a power brick that you would use for your cell phone or something like that. And it started reorganizing them into different geometries. As a matter of fact, here's another picture of the spirals and the other things that they were not injected, but they started assembling and appearing sometime after they had them at room temperature. Again, this was done in Japan, where they had to throw away millions of these vials because they saw dark particulates there that interacted with magnets. I'm sure the same thing happened elsewhere, but the governments didn't want to talk about it. This is an article from Technocracy News. And actually, it is a he references a an article from 2015 from the IEEE, which is the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. That's kind of the trade publication of EE's Electrical Engineers. I haven't looked at it for 40 years, I guess. used to read it all the time. But anyway, he points out, you know, they've talked for the longest time about the Internet of Things. And again, this IEEE article is 2015. In 2011, 2012, I think it was 2012, you had David Petraeus, who was then the director of the CIA. And he made the statement that we're going to be listening to you with your smart refrigerator. We're going to have the ability to hear what you're doing. And we reported that, and everybody said, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. It's like, no, that's his conspiracy. And it's not a theory. He's talking about how they're going to do that. Well, they call that the Internet of Things, and that is very concerning as well. It's one of the reasons why they need to have 5G, is to connect all of these things that are out there, and the things include not just your appliances, your smart home, your smart car, your smartphone, and use that to really kind of keep track of you. They actually even talk about the Internet of Bodies and the Internet of Everything. But Big Pharma, the military, are talking about the Internet of Bio-Nano Things. Bio-Nano Things. And as Technocracy News says, you're actually getting the Internet of Universal Skynet. So this paper goes back to March of 2015. The Internet of Bio-Nano Things is the final building block of the surveillance network, bridging all living things from the biochemical domain into the electrical domain of the Internet. And the abstract from the IEEE paper 2015 says the Internet of Things has become an important research topic in the last decade, where things refers to interconnected machines and objects with embedded computing capabilities employed to extend the Internet to many application domains. While research and development continue for general IoT devices, and again, we call these things smart, you know, smart devices for stupid people, but actually it's an acronym that's been used many times, self-monitoring and reporting technology. There are many application domains where very tiny, concealable, non-intrusive things are needed, and they capitalize the things. You know, the thing, as Biden would say. Well, you better know the thing. And think about that. This is the IEEE. I mean, this is a tech publication. where they, when I read it 40, 50 years ago, they used to, it was always about, you know, electronics and stuff like that. Now they're talking about how they can wield this technology to spy on people. They say concealable and non-intrusive things with a capital T. Oh, we got trouble right here in Ritter City, right? The with a capital T. The properties of recently studied nanomaterials such as graphene have inspired the concept of Internet of Nano Things. Notice the graphene? The graphene. Despite being an enabler for many applications, the artificial nature of the Internet of Nano Things devices can be detrimental if the deployment of the Nano Things could result in unwanted effects of health or pollution. The novel paradigm of the Internet of Bio Nano Things is introduced in this paper by stemming from synthetic biology and nanotechnology tools that allow the engineering of biological embedded computing devices. I think that's what we're looking at with this mRNA stuff. The Internet of Biological Nano Things stands as a paradigm-shifting concept for communication and network engineering. The Internet of Things defines a cyber-physical paradigm where all types of real-world physical elements, sensors, actuators, personal electronic devices, or home appliances, among others, are connected. And so now they want to connect you in with that. A novel research direction in the engineering of nanoscale devices and systems is being pursued in the field of biology by combining nanotechnology with tools from synthetic biology to control, reuse, modify, and re-engineer biological cells. You're going to hijack your body. And that was what they were talking about from the very beginning, Moderna. You know, they were, Pfizer jumped in with this technology, but Moderna had been working with it for 10 years. And they'd been making money on the stock market by giving people happy stories about some miracle cure that they had for this or that. But nothing had ever panned out until Trump and Fauci. And then they bring Pfizer in. By the way, they talked about it from the very beginning. I said, well, this should be a dead stop for you. When they come around, you remember the meeting that Trump set up and everybody, how long is it going to take you? Well, we can do it in a year or two. That's too long. How about you? Well, yeah, maybe we can do it in a little bit less time. They give a time and he goes around the table and he's already got everybody there in decreasing order for your benefit. You know, again, it was a pageant. It was a show, just like the entire political process. And the last ones he gets to are Moderna. They said, well, we can do it right now. And what we're going to do is we're not going to manufacture the vaccine. Your body is going to manufacture the vaccine. We're going to reprogram your body to manufacture the vaccine. It's like, okay, I'm out of this. Stop right there. That's a non-starter. Should be a non-starter. That should have been your clue right there. They're going to reprogram your body to produce this stuff. I said, and how are they going to turn it off? And of course, that is also a question. What is this thing doing? Novel research direction in the engineering of nanoscale devices and systems is being pursued in the field of biology. Combining nanotech with tools from synthetic biology to control, reuse, modify, and re-engineer biological cells. That's what they're doing. Re-engineering the biological cells. A cell can be effectively utilized as a substrate to realize a so-called bio-nano thing. The execution of DNA-based instructions, the biochemical processing of data, the transformation of chemical energy, and the exchange of information through the transmission and reception of molecules, termed molecular communication, are at the basis of a plethora of applications that will be enabled by the Internet of Bio Nanotech. And so, you know, when we look at this, when you look at DNA, and they're talking about DNA-based instructions. DNA is a very, very complicated code. It's got error correction, all the rest of this stuff. It is a sign of intelligent design. When you look at the GRAIN acronym, Genetics, Robotics, Artificial Intelligence, and Nanotech, as I said before, we can see the danger and we can see what is happening with robotics and artificial intelligence. But in terms of genetics and nanotech, it's very difficult to observe what they're doing. And it's almost impossible to imagine what they are doing. I mean, it truly is beyond the public's imagination to imagine what is happening with nanotech. Biological cells as the substrates of bio-nano things. And then they break it down in the IEEE. Again, this sounds very much like a computer device, right? They're going to hack your body, the DNA computer code that is there and all the rest of the stuff to do these types of things. And so they said, well, we have some examples of how we're going to have complex biochemical reactions. We can have a control unit that contains embedded software of the device. You know, this will correspond to the genetic instructions densely packed into the cell's DNA. So that's a control unit. We'll have a memory unit. That'll kind of be the interior of the cell, comprised of molecules synthesized by the cell's result of DNA instructions. A processing unit. That'll correspond to the molecular machinery that from the DNA molecules through the so-called transcription and translation, that's what the mRNA is doing, right? The processing unit generates protein molecules with instruction-dependent types and concentrations. The processing unit, the mRNA. The power unit, that'll be synthesized by the cell from energy supplied from the external environment in various forms and provides the energy necessary for the cell's biochemical reactions to take place. The transceivers, which will allow these systems to exchange information. That'll be the information-bearing molecules. Then finally, sensing and actuation. For example, light or mechanical stress or changing the chemical characteristics of the environment, mechanically interacting with it, or electromagnetics, right? And so you look at the different elements here. I mean, they've got this thing broken down like some device that they would create. A control unit, a memory unit, a processing unit, a power unit, transceivers, sensing and actuation. This is 10 years ago. And they said, although this is all still in its infancy, this technology has been successfully applied in 2015 for drug delivery, gene therapy, artificial blood cell production, and it is expected to deliver ideal substrates for synthetic biology with more predictable behavior. And so we will be able to, they said, randomly change parts of genetic programs and have these things selectively evolve. Well, they said bio-nano things could be used to access the human body, either to steal personal health-related information or even to create new diseases. Isn't it amazing how evil science has become? The Internet of Nano Things proposes to push the limits of this concept to nanotechnology-enabled nanoscale devices, which can easily be concealed, implanted, and scattered in the environment. I mean, they're not just talking necessarily about injectables, putting it in the environment in general. We believe that the Internet of Bio Nanotechnology research field, while still in its infancy in 2015, will result in a game-changer technology for the society of tomorrow. There you go. Technocrats in charge of the IEEE, I guess. Werner Gitt, thank you very much for looking that up. Yeah, Werner Gitt, if you want to look it up. And that's Wermergitt, a great book. He talks about how people who want to believe in evolution, it's like, no, what you have to have in the beginning is you have to have something that's going to organize and design everything. Organize and design everything. That's, otherwise a tornado in a junkyard isn't going to build a building. It takes a designer. You look at something that is as complex as the body or any of the systems within the body. We have systems within systems within systems. Every single one of them has information in it. Now, 2,000 years ago, John and the other Christians described Christ as Logos, which is exactly what that means. Means information, purpose, design.
Of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming,
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Break free from the usual script with The David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.